105.3 The Bear.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
If we die, we die together. You can get it done. You can get it done. What's more, you gotta get it done.
There's a gleam, man. There's a gleam. Let's get the gleam, all right? Let's go.
Want a piece of that championship? Put it in here.
Hey, guys, where else would you rather be?
Welcome in to Hour 2 of Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson on 105.3 The Bear. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
Text line, the Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053.
Can you make this thing go faster?
Hope everybody is okay, getting geared up for the weekend. It has felt like, you know what, it hasn't just felt like. It has been a really long week. We're headed into Father's Day weekend, as a matter of fact. So happy Father's Day to all of my fellow dads. Happy Father's Day a little early to my dad who's been gone now. This will be 5 years. Hard to believe. But that's happening this weekend. And you notice, you know, here we are, guys, you know. This is what we deal with, right? And rightfully so, Mother's Day takes on a little different aura, right? You start hearing about things a few weeks out. It's moms, the most important people in the world. I get it. But, you know, our day, Father's Day, we just kind of are like, yeah, hey, that's right. It's this weekend. Hey, hey, happy Father's Day. Have a great day. Hey, yeah, remember? Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. But that's okay. That's okay. They are in the proper pecking order. They really are. Game four tonight. Maybe it ends. The Celtics going to win their 18th title. They're up 3-0. Stanley Cup Finals are a stinker, too. Panthers are up 3-0. They beat the Oilers last night. What if both of those series go four and out? Yikes. Yikes. College World Series gets underway a little later today. This will be fun. You got Virginia and Carolina at 2 o'clock. Tennessee, Florida State tonight. Tomorrow, Kentucky, NC State. Bill Roth talked about that. That could be a really high-scoring game. And then A&M and Florida coming up Saturday night. But a good way to start, especially for those of the folks around in this region who are ACC fans, to see Carolina and Virginia go head-to-head. That is game number one. Wayne from Ohio asking, ribeye this weekend? Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that's not a bad idea, Wayne. Yeah, maybe I'll treat myself this weekend. Why not? Of course, I wouldn't trust anybody else to buy my ribeye, much less cook it. So, yeah, I'd have to do the whole thing. But, yeah, maybe so. Not a bad idea. Maybe I'll start a Father's Day GoFundMe so I can go out and buy my own ribeye. So, theoretically, Andy Bitter yesterday. By the way, what a great show that was. Again, this isn't because of your host, all right? This isn't me at all. But Andy Bitter, Roland Lazenby, talking about the life and legacy of Jerry West, and then Dwight Vick. Are you kidding me? Really? That is free value entertainment for you, the sports enthusiast, and just human being. You can listen to any of those three folks. You don't even have to be a massive sports fan. But I was reflecting back on that yesterday. I had a couple people at work go, man, Roland was really good. I was like, yeah, he's really good. And you just listen, and then Dwight, you know, talking about his rule of life. What's he down here for? I mean, you get into that. I mean, that guy. There are a lot of wonderful people that we talk to here on the program. I'm not sure there's a better human being, pound for pound. No pun intended, Dwight. He would laugh at that, trust me. He would laugh. Then Dwight Vick. That guy's just on another plane. He really is. But anyway, I digress. Andy Bitter yesterday. One of the questions that he got in his text sideline mailbag was, theoretically, Andy, if Tech had, let's say Tech gets an SEC invite, you know, for the second time because they arrogantly turned it away the first time. What would the record be? What would Virginia Tech do with an SEC schedule? Andy compared them to South Carolina, if you remember yesterday. Probably a little better version, just to paraphrase what he said, than what South Carolina has dealt with. Then he made a good point. He outlined that, you know, South Carolina's been a solid program, but you can only get so good consistently so long in that league, right? Unless you're the Alabamas or the Georgias of the world. I mean, look how long Tennessee has toiled trying to climb back. Tennessee won the first ever BCS championship. You remember that? Way back, what was it, 97, 98, something like that? The old BCS. Tennessee hasn't really been heard from again. The Mississippis are capable of putting together good seasons, right? Lane Kiffin has a lot of talent. They get a lot of money in the portal, some good players, but they're not consistently at the top of the league. South Carolina is another one of those. Auburn has kind of fallen off. LSU has been trying to climb back with Brian Kelly. Maybe they're getting there, right? Maybe. But where would you put Virginia Tech if they were to play a true SEC schedule? You know, it would alternate every year. You wouldn't play all the top heavies each season, but you would play a very formidable schedule. I know how excited everybody would get. And obviously, as Andy said yesterday, if Tech were to get that invite again, I mean, you couldn't let them finish the sentence before you said yes. Because Tech's going to open up. Here's something that's going to be a slap in the face. And I was talking about this from somebody at Tech yesterday. Because this is true. Tech's going to open up at Vanderbilt to start the 2024 season. Virginia Tech's likely going to win that football game going away, convincingly. But as they walk out of that stadium and climb back on the bus to head back home, they're going to leave there with the knowledge that Vanderbilt has a long-term setup for success much better than Virginia Tech. Think about that for a second. That is true. Just because Vanderbilt's in the SEC and Tech is not. Right? It's a sobering thought. But when you break down the finances and the fact that no league, by the way, and we discussed this yesterday, off hours with my buddies from Blacksburg, none of these leagues are going to force anybody out. There's not going to be any votes from the SEC to eliminate Vanderbilt. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to see the Big Ten or nobody's going to vote. What that would cause in terms of more litigation fees, I don't even know how you go about doing that, because there's not been a clause written prior. There's not been a SEC clause. Well, you have to be winning this amount of games. You have to be spending this amount of dollars. There are no qualifications that would say, hey, we need to eliminate them just because they suck. And they do. Vanderbilt, they're not good. They have one sport that they're good at. And they weren't even that good at that this year, baseball. But they don't care. And they do rise the academic profile. But it's a sobering thought to think about long-term success, a team that Tech should manhandle, an athletic department that's set up for long-term success financially much better than Virginia Tech because of the league in which it's in. So, yes, they would say yes. Let me know your record guesses, 744-2990. Now, Roger writes, it would probably mean that Tech would play even an even worse non-conference schedule. Correct. Probably. That's the downfall of it. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But how many wins would they get? How many wins would they be able to year in and year out? I'll ask Jen this question coming up too. Honestly, because, you know, she will look at it from the perspective. I'm going to ask her about the Andy Bitter Tech South Carolina comparison. That feels like that's a pretty sound comparison that he made. I mean, you've got Georgia. You're not going to do very well against Georgia. You know, Alabama, divisions would look different, you know, or East and West right now. I'm sure that would change if they expanded. So I'm just saying, this is theoretical. Of course, just having some fun on a Friday. No, there's no breaking news that this is happening. Someone just said, I know you were kidding, but no, I better clarify that. You're right. No, none of that's going on. We're just having fun with this, a theoretical thing, kind of following up Andy's mailbag. That's all we're doing. I mean, Georgia, Alabama, LSU. Florida's going to really struggle this year. Texas A&M, is that more of a comparison? I've got a couple people saying that they feel like Texas A&M would be a better comparison for Tech. That's fair. Auburn has fallen off. Arkansas, would they be, they'd be better than Arkansas, or would they? Would be about like Arkansas? Somebody like that? I mean, where they would fit in would be probably somewhere in the middle. That's all. That's all. But it is kind of a fun thing to think about. But here's the thing, too, and I've gotten, let's see, I got about 10 text messages already. Every Tech fan who's chiming in says, look, we would take that swap in a heartbeat. We would take fewer wins for the security long term in a heartbeat, and eventually you hope maybe you'd break through and be more competitive. Agreed. Oh, man, if you go back and find that time machine and say yes to that question Tech got back in the late 2000s. All right, we'll take a break, come back, rolling along here. Finally, Friday edition on our new home, the Bear.
BDST in the NRV.
Kind of has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? BDST here in the NRV. 744-2990, the Baker Team Hotline, 731-1053. Rolling along here, hour number two. Jen and Mike Ashley join us coming up in the 8 o'clock Power Hour. Getting all sorts of win total predictions, theoretically, if Tech were to take on an SEC schedule. Most are very pessimistic. Lots of 3 wins in conference play would be the max. A couple of 2 wins. We've gotten some 5 wins probably annually. If you go middling and go to some bowl finishing halfway in the SEC, people are reasoning, hey, you know what? We would take that in a heartbeat. That's what I'm saying. You would take the trade-off, I think, just in terms of financial stability. Now, granted, if you stay in the ACC, you're going to have a better chance to be the, maybe, depending, the playoff representative of the ACC. No guarantees, clearly, because that hasn't happened, but we'll ask Jen that question. I'm thinking maybe Texas A&M might be a little better of a comp. As Texas A&M, South Carolina's good too. So we'll break that down with Jen and see what she thinks. They got a new baseball coach down there too, down in South Carolina. They didn't mess around after they fired their other coach. Danny writes in, let's be realistic. Tech would get hammered in most of the head-to-head contests against the top three or four. But then again, as he writes, and he's correct, how many teams would not get hammered by the likes of Georgia, LSU, and Alabama? Yeah. But you would just like the opportunity. Right? At that point, you would just like that opportunity, and then you could try to build the program around that momentum. And who knows? Maybe you would get more of those five-star, four-star athletes. I don't know. Things are going to change, though, and I already have. I mean, you can't look at anything as the same kind of qualifier for recruiting that you used to. Because it all comes down to money. You know, it's all going to come down to the NIL. That's what it's going to be. Kids, trust me, from what I hear just from the basketball side of it, I mean, about 85% of them, that's all they're worried about. They're not worried about fit. They're not worried about playing style. They're not worried about the college environment. They want to know what they're going to get. And what else they could get if they come there. That's why they've completely backed off the employment push. Now, once this thing gets legislated into revenue sharing, I believe what the power, though, will still lie with the athletic departments. I mean, why can't you just say, okay, you know what? We're going to get into this NIL because that's the new law of the land, but you will have a contract. That's what people are missing here. Just because employment status may not be granted or may not be officially cited by law or by ruling, who knows? But what's going to keep any athletic department from saying, well, here are our conditions for how we're going to handle the NIL on our end? Now, we're talking about the SEC schools, and they have money that seemingly to burn. You're not going to hear a lot of complaining coming out of SEC NIL coffers like you are other leagues. So you can have all these great facilities, and yeah, you're going to have outliers. It's not going to be everybody. In the SEC, there's so many reasons why, though, they recruit. Not only the money involved that the kids can get, but every year, it is so lopsided how many players get drafted out of the SEC as opposed to the rest of the Power League. We're halfway home on the Finally Friday edition. Going to be a warmer day today, maybe some thunderstorms later. As we're rolling along here, finishing up week number two of BDST on the Bear. Come on back with us. And did anybody see this Trevor Lawrence contract extension? Talk about that when we return.
The big dog is back on the Bear.
Myself, I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul and faith.
Welcome back, guys. 33 minutes past the hour. 731-1053. That's the Baker Team Hotline. Text line 744-2990. As we roll along here on this Finally Friday edition, heading into Father's Day weekend. All right, so Trevor Lawrence, who you know I has had the biggest affinity for coming out of Clemson, back when we started the show, he was the God's gift to quarterbacking. Just signed a deal. It's going to make him one of the highest paid players in NFL history. 5 years, $275 million. He gets $200 million in guarantees. This ties the deal that Joe Burrow signed as the highest paid quarterback in the NFL in terms of annual salary. The question I have, has he earned it? He's 20-30 as a starter. He is 1-1 in the playoffs. He's completed not quite 64% of his passes, 58 touchdowns, 39 picks. Those aren't numbers of a guy worthy of being paid tied for the highest all time in his position in annual salary. And the rationale from Jacksonville Jaguars personnel people was that they're doing this because they believe that his best football is yet to come. This is another huge gamble by them as he learns and grows in Doug Peterson's offense. Keep in mind, he gets a little bit of a reprieve because of the disaster that was Urban Meyer being his first coach. I mean, nobody was going to succeed. He threw an NFL high 17 picks that year, only they only won three games. Then in 2022, he threw 25 touchdowns and 8 picks. Jags won the AFC South. Then they came back, you remember, when they were down against the Chargers, 27-0 to win. Played well against Kansas City, but lost in the divisional round. But then last year, second half of the season, he just absolutely vanished. Remember, the Jags started 8-3 last year. Everybody was talking about them supplanting Kansas City as maybe the new top dog in the AFC. But he got hurt, got banged up a lot, tried to play through it. Jags went 1-5. He wasn't really himself, didn't participate weekly in practice in December. And then he was third in turnovers with 21. He has 60 turnovers, interceptions, and fumbles in his first three seasons. So basically, he's getting paid for the stretch that he showed in 2022 and early 23 is the explanation from Jacksonville. And I guess they're looking at this as being our guy. We took him. We now believe in this system. We got a coach. This tells me Doug Peterson's not going anywhere anytime soon. That they believe his potential will completely and utterly surpass what they're paying. Pokey Bob says he'll be number one in check cashings. Good question. Wayne asks, would I want him as the Broncos quarterback? Oh, definitely. Given our current situation, yes. Absolutely. I mean, if I were to find out the Broncos had traded for Trevor Lawrence, yes, I'd be all over that. I think he would thrive with Sean Payton. Now, for that kind of money, you know, we just wasted all that money with Russell Wilson, so I don't know about all that. But certainly, just in terms of the quarterback, the player himself, yeah, I would. That's just a lot of money to give a guy on a stretch of, you know, a couple different stretches. So it shows a lot of confidence in him. Maybe that's what he needs. I know he's been great in the community. He's been a great leader. Teammates really like him. So he's done everything right outside of it, being the face of the franchise. So I guess he gets rewarded for that. But what happens here after that extension? Let's say he struggles again in 2024. First of all, he's got to show that he can stay healthy. It's interesting to me that you see the two guys with the highest all-time annual salary at quarterback, Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, each now have quite the injury history. Neither one can stay healthy. And what's the old adage you hear all the time from coaches? In the NFL, staying healthy is a skill set. Like, that is something that is looked at when they do all these different calculations about if they want to sign a certain free agent or extend a contract, even coming out of college, who they're going to draft. It's why it was such a risk when the Colts took Anthony Richardson, who was hurt the entire time he was at Florida. And what happens? What, three games into his rookie year? He's lost for the season. So now they're basically starting over with a brand new quarterback again because Richardson didn't get to play. So there are lots of different things that they look at. And now you have to wonder, right, if I'm a Jacksonville fan, I mean, it's not fans' money, but you do want your front office to show that that they have confidence in who they draft. His jerseys are selling very well. The fans do like him, I know that. But he has not been that guy yet. Maybe it happens now. But you do have to keep in mind how bad it was with Urban Meyer. Right? I mean, that was just absolute disaster. But yes, I would, Wayne. I would want him to be the quarterback of my team right now because the options are, well, the option is one. It's Bo Nix. Bo Nix. Sorry. I just feel like when I say his name, it's got to be Bo Nix, right? Even though when you hear Bo Nix talk, he doesn't talk that way at all. It just feels that that should be how he should talk. Davey writes in, despite everything that's going on, Rick, I'm still very excited about college football. I heard Bill Roth talking about it on Wednesday on your show. He's right. Once you sit down and the game starts, you'll forget about all these other things that are going on. That is 100% correct. That is 100% correct. And I think that when people are into the season, you won't worry about all these outliers as much, right? You're not gonna hear about players leaving. You're not gonna worry about, you're gonna be just focused on in-season stuff. But I know that's the way it's going to be. You think about that first Saturday. If you're not one of the ones that's going to take the trip to Nashville, and I think there will be a lot of Tech fans there. I think it's going to be a Tech home game environment, to be honest. You know, you're going to be sitting at home, flipping back and forth. You got that game. You've got, I think at that time as well, is Georgia-Clemson on at the exact same time. I mean, that's going to be, again, once the games start, you see the unis and you hear the band and the cheerleaders and all the theme songs. I mean, you're going to forget about it. It's not going to change anything that's going on behind the scenes or what might come a little later, but you will forget about it, David. You're right. Absolutely. And that's what we're all counting on. Will that be enough going forward? Then, of course, if the team struggles, your school struggles, it's all going to come back to, well, they can't compete in this league. There's not enough money. Or how can we compete in this league when Team A, Team B is doing this? I'm just going to be curious to see how this employment of athletes bill looks going forward. The House committee's got it right now. And it feels like to me, I don't know for sure, but it feels like to me that schools now have said, wait a minute, as much as they push back against it, you're going to have to pay NIL anyway. But the whole employee situation is one that they can control. Because there aren't going to be any regulations or guidelines telling these universities that they have to separate the type of employment that it is in that athletic department from administrators to athletes. I don't foresee that happening. If you're an employee, you're an employee. That's where I think the power can be obtained once again by the departments. And you know what? I have absolutely no problem. I understand the new era of the NIL. I get it. This isn't a debate about that. I've been pro student athlete payment before any of this even had any kind of title, way back in the day, first run of the show. And I've told the story many times about when I read about the Peyton Manning Tennessee jersey, that number 16 jersey that had sold, that you guessed, over a million copies. And he didn't see a dime of it. Now, I know he's a billionaire now, so it doesn't matter. But I'm just saying, at that time, makes you start thinking about what's going on. Michael Vick has said it very recently. Dwight Vick talks about it all the time. Michael Vick says, you know what? If this would have been around, I would have definitely stayed that extra year. I would have capitalized on it. I would have gotten better as a quarterback. My jersey sales were already off the charts. Who knows how much money I would have made? There's no question. There's no athlete in Virginia Tech sports history that missed out on the NIL era any more than Mike Vick. He would have had TV ads. He would have had local. I mean, they would have had him featured on doing stuff nationally. If he'd have stayed one more year in college, whew, good Lord. Can you imagine? What did Dwight speculate? Probably no less than $5 million a year in today's dollars, right? That makes a lot of sense to me. But I think that departments are going to be able to spell out if this happens. Hey, okay, here's your NIL contract. This is what you're going to get. Here's what we need from you. I don't have a problem with that at all. Departments have to be protected. We need to win a certain amount of games. You need to have this. Let's just get rid of the whole amateurism thing because it's gone anyway. You are a pro now. You are a pro. You're being paid this amount in NIL to be a major contributor. Here's what we need. And we also need a commitment of time. Here is at the very least, a 2-year deal to stay at said school. No jumping around. Can't break your contract. 2-year deal. Then in 2 years, you have the freedom to leave, and then we have the freedom to release you. I don't know how it's going to look. I'm just saying, in theory, I get it and would think that this would be something that gives a lot of control back to the institutions. But I think we have seen several athletes over the last month just say, hey, we've kind of backed off the whole employment thing, because I think somebody has gotten in their ear and said, you realize what that's going to look like, right? Or what that could potentially look like. Now, power conferences have been lobbying Congress that they wanted laws that would limit their legal liability and prevent athletes from being employees for the past several years because of the lack of affordability and things of that nature. It's going to be very interesting to see how it's going to happen. Few text messages in. No doubt, no matter how this is going to look, there should be some kind of guarantee that student athletes have to stay for a certain amount of time. I think everybody's going to be in agreement on that. much like the coaches across the country are in agreement that they don't want to see the walk-on numbers reduced, I think every fan's going to say, absolutely, yeah, if we get a kid that we're spending X amount of dollars on, we need him to be here a certain amount of time. We're coming back, wrapping up hour number two as we roll along here on the Finally Friday edition.
Big Dog Sports Talk.
Good stuff coming in on the text line. Some questions about if these are true, just paid professionals at that point. Will their academics even matter? That's a great question. I don't know the answer. Yeah, it should. But do you tie that into the kind of money that they could make? I would think, why not? If the academics, it seems like a laughable point now in a lot of cases, given the big money and the big conferences. But it is supposed to be an educational opportunity, right? Why would you not tie incentives to grade point average, working towards your degree to your NIL? I don't know the answer. Yes, I agree with you. To me, it makes sense. Instead of just saying, well, here's the X amount of dollars you're going to get. And if you don't have an academic standard or standards for the NIL higher paid athletes, then what's the incentive for the rest of the student athletes or for the rest of the student body? See, this whole thing's got so many layers of uncertainty. And then you throw on top of all that the Title IX questions that are still out there. It's such a mess. It is such a mess. I have a feeling that even though, and we agree that once the games are going, at least in that moment, you're going to be wrapped up in the game, that some point, though, you're going to fall back on it. As that week goes on, you're going to start thinking about all the things that are happening surrounding all this again. It's going to pop right back in there. Crazy. But just know this. Nobody, and I mean nobody, has any answers to what's going on. People are asking about the incident where Tech turned down the SEC. The reasons why. Tech had just gotten in the ACC several years before, and this whole thing started around 2007, 2008. And there were conversations about expansion. They were really multiplying, and sure enough, the SEC gave an invite to the brass at Virginia Tech. They turned it down. And they turned it down for reasons that, you know, centered around their new membership of the ACC and the footprint, all this. Other reasons, I don't know. Nobody really had the foresight, which surprises me some, and then again, maybe not, because we are dealing with college athletics and nobody had the foresight to do anything the right way. But I don't know if anyone saw. I mean, that's 15, 16, 17 years ago. Did anyone see? And they were already, obviously, the best of the power leagues, but the SEC had not separated itself like it has now. And I don't just mean competitively, I mean financially, like it had in 2023-24. I don't know if anyone ever considered the amount of media dollars that would be made available, to be honest, and how everybody would be fighting, scrapping to try to get the rights or the popularity of college football that has just exploded since even, you know, you go back to the late 90s, early 2000s, where it is almost 25 years later. It's at an all-time fervor in terms of following and fan loyalty. College football, I mean, if you did a poll across the country, I wonder, I guess the NFL would still win out, but I wonder what the percentages would be if you ask people, which do you prefer, NFL or college football? I wonder how that would play out. I mean, NFL is going to be the number one sport all the time in this country going forward. It's not going to ever change. College football is number two. I mean, all the other pro leagues can think about it all they want, but it's the NFL, college football, and then you can throw in maybe what? The NBA, baseball, hockey. But nobody had that momentum then. You had the pockets that supported the schools in their towns. But it wasn't the same. I know it's hard to look at what has developed since then and wonder what in the world Tech was thinking. I get that. But hindsight, as they say, is always 20/20. And that's one of those instances that you're never really going to know for sure. You're never going to know. Other than now, it looks like a really bad, bad move. Good stuff, though. Good talking points. Speaking of talking points, we have two of the best on a weekly basis that do it. Jen and Mike Ash, and we come back. It's the Power Hour, final hour for Number Week, on our new home here on BDST 105.3, The Bear.